Blog Talk Radio.
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter, here's our spin on...
You play to win the game.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. Then we talk. Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a push down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. We sucked.
You play to win the game.
That's pitiful.
You don't play to just play it.
Perform like that.
You don't play to win.
Okay.
You start telling me.
We suck.
It doesn't matter. Then we talk.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Okay.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Playoffs?
Playoffs? That's pitiful.
Get off the players' backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm responsible for the whole thing. Okay?
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. So we let them off the hook.
I told you what I'm going to do now. Now you want to know what I'm going to do. Some contingency of that. Some contingency of that. Want to know what I'm going to do. Some contingency of that. All of which are hypothetical.
I'm the coach of the team. I was out
who's playing.
I was out who plays when they play, where they play.
That's why we took the damn field. Damn field. That's why we took the damn field.
One back.
You play to win the game.
I want winners.
You don't play to just play.
I want people that want to win. This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth. Number one. Number two, we cannot give them the game.
We suck.
I tell you the truth.
Right now, that person is not sold out to be part of this team. Cannot play with him.
You play to win the game.
Cannot win with him.
Playoffs. Hello?
Cannot coach with him.
That is so much crap.
Can't do it.
You play to win.
You don't know what we're trying to do. You guys don't look at the films. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you never will.
I'm getting on the damn heat with everybody, each and every one of y'all, hammering my tail. I don't coach that way. I don't coach them to do that type of thing.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
I don't coach that way.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
Zero.
I don't really care. I gotta tell you the truth.
I know I'm smarter than that.
You play to win the game.
Playoffs.
You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. You start helping me. It doesn't matter. Then we talk. Get out.
Yesterday's yesterday. Today's today. Tomorrow will be tomorrow.
Playoffs?
Thanks, Coach.
And now, you contemptible harpy, I shall end your oppressive reign of matriarchal tyranny.
Hey, Thirst. Can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this? And what about this? Ha! Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
Welcome in to The Ride, the fastest 60 minutes of sports. I am the man, the host, the guy, the idiot, the moron, everything you want to call me. But I'm above everything else, I'm your guy. Welcome to the Fast 60 Minute Sports. My name is Vinny Moore. It is week 11 of the National Football League, but there's a whole lot of things going on. You can't get past the NCAA, college football, yesterday, all the upsets. What does it mean? We're going to get into that in the first part of today's show. Penn State finally gets his first win without Joe Pa handling the Buckeyes. USC shocks Oregon. Baylor stuns Oklahoma. LSU, of course, well, that's LSU is LSU, dominating whoever gets in front of them right now. Michigan State winning their portion of the Big Ten by dominating yesterday. Clemson, my boys, the 7th-ranked Clemson Tigers go down to NC State. Just an absolute crazy day. So let's get into it at 10:06 for your Sunday morning, week 11. Let's run down your top 25 in college football, because a whole lot went on yesterday. And you know, forgive me, I'm sitting here trying to drink some kind of compose myself, because you couldn't have told me. If I was a betting man, would I be hurting today? But nonetheless, all right, let's get into it. Florida State finally breaks into the top 25, and as soon as they get there, they lose to Virginia. UVA gets them, what is that, 14-13. Number 24, Auburn, a 35-16 winner. Penn State, number 21. They're 9-2, by the way, Penn State. 2014 winner over Ohio State. UAB shocks number 20. USM, 34-31. I'm not even sure which school that is. Y'all forgive me. I'm drawing a blank. Number 19, TCU rolls over Colorado State, 34-10. Number 17, Wisconsin, a 28-17 win over Illinois. Illinois lost five straight. They started the season 6-0 and now sit at 6-5. And Ron Zook, if he's not fired yet, is definitely on the hot seat. Number 18, Michigan beats up number 16, Nebraska, 45-17 to solidify its place atop the whatever that division is in the Big Ten that they control. Number 15, Michigan State rolls Indiana 55-3. Number 14, Georgia, 19-10 winner over Kentucky. Number 13, Kansas State takes care of number 23, Texas, 17-13. How does Texas get ranked? Anyway, man, maybe that's just one of those good old boy things that we just do just because it's Texas. What are you going to do? Number 12, South Carolina, a 41-20 winner over the Citadel. And number 11, the undefeated Houston Cougars, a 37-7 winner over SMU. Number 10, Boise State. I see you'd love to say Boise rolled over somebody, but giving up 35 points, even though you put up 52, is not the epitome of rolling over someone. But Boise State gets the win. The number 10th ranked Boise State, Broncos, 52-35 over San Diego State. Number 9, Stanford ekes out a win against Cal late, 31-28, late field goal, gets that one done. Va Tech, a 24-21 winner over North Carolina. NC State shocks my boys at Clemson, 37-13. Arkansas, 44-17 winner over Mississippi State. That sets up a big one between Arkansas and, well, I guess Arkansas and Alabama coming up pretty quickly here. Number 22, Baylor shocks number 5, Oklahoma, 45-38. USC shocks number 4, 38-35. USC beats up on Oregon. Oregon with a chance to win it late misses a field goal, and that is your ball game. Number 3, Alabama rolls 45-21. Number 2, Oklahoma State falls in overtime to Iowa State. You know, Iowa State is developing a history of doing this a lot, whether it's football or basketball. Like, I take you back to some Iowa State love a couple of years ago when they took out a big team in the NCAA tournament, not too far in the near this past future. And number 1, LSU rolls Mississippi 52-3, because LSU, best team in the country, 11-0. First time they've been 11-0 since 1958, I believe it is. So there you go. That's your college football love. Now, what does that mean for the BCS standings and the projected BCS standings coming out? It means a lot. LSU, of course, will be number 1. It also means that even though LSU beat Alabama in early in the season, that usually one loss would basically knock Alabama out of any contention, because they're the only other undefeated team in the top, say, 15 is Houston. Everyone else is a 1, and in some cases, a 2-loss team. So it would appear that the computer wants LSU and Alabama to do this 9-6 dance all over again for your BCS title game. Now, I know it's a bit unfair, and certainly Houston hasn't really played the level of competition maybe that's in the SEC, but you got to give some love to the Houston Cougars. You just do. Oregon is now a 2-loss team. Oklahoma is now a 2-loss team. Your top 3, top 4 might look a little like this. LSU 1, Alabama 2, Arkansas now steps into the conversation at 3. So who's number 4? I mean, where are you going to put Oklahoma State after the loss at Iowa State? Are you going to drop them out of the top 5? If you do, who do you put? Clemson lost, so they're not going to get any benefit. Are you going to put Virginia Tech up into that mix? I mean, this is going to be really, really interesting to see how that plays itself out. I just think it's amazing. There's no love for Boise State because of the conference they're in and the people they play. I don't know. What do you do with a Houston team that continues to simply be dominant, is undefeated? Do you put them in the equation? I don't think you give them enough love. You certainly move them into the top 10, but not enough love necessarily to break into the top 5. But Why not? Case Keenum setting completion records. They're 11-0. They're 7-0 in their conference. So, for lack of any other real explanation, why can't Houston be in that conversation? Certainly, they're going to have their number ones up there, and they're going to be touting what they have every right to tout. Obviously, again, maybe Houston's defense deserves a little bit of love. Hey, top-ranked offense, even though they kind of struggled a little bit early on in the game against SMU, came together second half and put up 37. Guys, pundits, I mean, what are you going to do? Okay. The most career completions in FBS, number one, Case Keenum, University of Houston, 1,427, you know, and now higher than Graham Harrell, who did it all at Texas Tech. And back, if you remember, for those of you can remember, back to the big Hawaii rainbow days of Timmy Chang. I mean, why not? Houston should definitely be eyeing a BCS bid. Now they should be eyeing a little bit more than that. Again, just look at the stands, look at the rankings, look where things kind of fell with Oregon and Oklahoma both losing, Arkansas being the gigantic benefactor of all that. I'm looking on here. 4 and 5 both fell. 2 fell. 3 was Alabama, so they're going to slot right into 2. Arkansas into the 3 slot. I don't know who you put into the 4 slot. Again, if you just do the numbers, you almost have to slide Stanford back into that equation. You almost have to. And if you don't, then you've got to give either Boise State or the University of Houston some love. And again, the only undefeated is Houston. And again, yeah, you know me, guys. It's not the kids' fault. They can only beat who you put in front of them. That is it. All right, let's do a little bit of love inside college football, because I'm really kind of curious what they're calling the spark of insanity here. And I said I was going to stop saying that so much. Spark of insanity. Well, you know, we're going to find out tonight anyway in the BCS love, so let's move on. It's 10:14 for your morning. Let's give you some NHL love. Last night in NHL, if you're a Blackhawks fan, it was rough to watch as our Blackhawks got roughed up 9-2. San Jose, a 4-1 winner over Dallas. Minnesota takes care of the Blues 3-2. Columbus, a 4-3 win over Nashville. Florida, 3-2 win over Pittsburgh. The Devils, New Jersey, a 4-2 win over Tampa Bay. Boston shuts out the New York Islanders 6-0. The Canadiens take care of the Rangers, also a shutout 4-0. The Maple Leafs take care of the Capitals 7-1. Coyotes over Buffalo 4-2. The Red Wings, a 4-1 winner over L.A. And Winnipeg, a 6-4 winner over the Philadelphia Flyers. That's really – look, guys, it's early in the hockey season for the hockey fans out there. It's certainly too early to get too geeked up. Not a lot of exciting things except, of course, last night in one of the games, you had two brothers, the Stahl brothers, basically colliding, which is kind of funny. You see both their jerseys, both exact same spelling, 118, 112, slamming into the wall. That was an interesting game. Eric Stahl and his brother going at it head-to-head last night. But not a lot to speak about in the NHL. Of course, a little bit later on, we'll get into your fantasy stuff, as we always do every single week. And more, and whatever you want to talk about, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Now, at some point, guys, as the thing continues to prosper and grow, we got to get this thing to an 800 number. I'm looking at my engineers. We got to get this thing to an 800. I know everyone's got a nationwide plan. Everyone's got a cell phone, 619-639-4747. I could probably create a jingle. That's 639-4747. I'll come up with something fun with that. Anyway, 619-639-4747. And here's a little tidbit for you. With roughly 45 minutes to your pregame shows getting started on Fox and CBS, the reminder to all of those of you football heads, the Sunday night game on NBC tonight, Monday night game on ESPN tomorrow night. That's my love to all our network affiliates. A reminder that, well, this is more of a tidbit. This show, as popular as it is and as big as it's getting, maybe physically moving its studios to the Great Northwest. So just a little tidbit. I mean, I'm going to throw that out there so you can kind of stew on that a little bit, and we'll get back into more right after this.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Suite Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
It's the Subway Steak and Cheese Sub, hearty Italian bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on hearty Italian bread, but now with a bit of onion on it, sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steaky cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting panic here. It's only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos. Sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food, made the way you want it. We've got a sub for that.
So I'm at the game with my boys, and the Cougars are getting killed. I mean, it's getting ugly, like 69 to nothing ugly. But I convinced everyone to stick it out because the concession stand sells their leftover cheeseburgers for $1 after the game. After enduring the beatdown, we discovered that the Department of Health has put a nix on the whole selling leftover stadium burgers thing. The guys were not happy with me, but I told them, no sweat, let's go to McDonald's. The dollar menu offers a fresh, warm, juicy, 100% beef cheeseburger along with 7 other wonderful options every day. And you don't have to sit through the game to get it. We learned you can't always count on your team, but you can always count on the dollar menu.
Welcome back on the ride, 1018, 1018 for your morning fast to 60 minutes in sports. All right, it's 1018 in the morning. We got to get into some of these other fun things, fantasy sports going on like crazy. We normally wouldn't hit this for about another 5-6 minutes, but you know what? We've got the break where we got it, so this may benefit many of you who are trying to figure out who to start and sit. We can elaborate a little bit. We'll fill this in, guys, not to worry. In the meantime, for those of you wondering who to start, who to sit, that's right. You'll notice now we did not talk any NBA, and we did not talk any Major League Baseball. And I love you, but there's a reason for that, so we're going to move on today. For those of you who are clamoring or blowing up my little chat, I'm telling you right now, we're not talking about free agency in baseball. I don't care where you want Albert Pujols to go today. I love you. Pujols is not going to Florida. Stop it. Just stop it. Okay? Prince could be coming to the Cubs now that they've named Dale Swain, you know, their new manager, who also came from the Brewers, so that's a possibility. And that is about as much as we're going to talk about baseball today, all right? Stop it. Now. Back to the NFL. Fantasy sports. Defenses. Who to start, who to sit. Top 10. Start today. Here we go. Number 10, the New England Patriots going up against Kansas City. Number 9 this week, the Cincinnati Bengals in Baltimore. Cincinnati's defense is really good. Number 8, the New York Giants getting Philly. Depending on which version of Philly, it's a Jekyll and Hyde team with injuries. Could be really, really ugly. Number 7, the Detroit Lions get Carolina. I love Detroit in that spot. Number 6. The Jacksonville Jaguars at Cleveland. Jacksonville's defense is really good. Number 5, the Green Bay Packers going against Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay has no identity right now. Number 4, the Dallas Cowboys at Washington. Gotta love that. Number 3, the Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati. Well, of course, the Ravens minus Ray Lewis, maybe not so much, but you never know. Number 2, the Chicago Bears. Hey, there's a first in the top 10 this year. The Bears' defense finally getting some love going up against San Diego, and that San Diego offensive line is really, really questionable. You could have a Julius Peppers show in that game. Number 1, the San Francisco 49ers. And why? Because Arizona will not run the ball. If they can keep Skelton or whoever their quarterback is alive today, he might throw the ball about 60 times trying to find Larry Fitzgerald at least 10. The Niners are the number 1 defense this morning at 10:20 for your Week 11 in the National Football League. Now, to your kickers. See, this is where I need the segue music. I need that little segue music, man. We got to work on that. All right, we're going to work on that. It's okay. Okay, we'll get to that. All right, your kickers, number 10, Mike Nugent of the Bengals going up against Baltimore. Number 9, Nick Novak, San Diego gets Chicago. That may be all they get today. Number 8, Robbie Gould, the Bears kicker going up against the Chargers. Number 7, Steven Gostkowski up against KC. Number 6, Mason Crosby going up against the Bucks. Like that, because they're going to put up a ton of points. Number 5, Sebastian Janikowski going up against the Vikings. Number 4, Jason Hansen gets Carolina. Number 3, Billy Cundiff of Baltimore gets the Bengals. Number 2, Danny Bailey, the Cowboys, gets Washington. We've said Danny Bailey's name more than his mama has recently. Number one, David Akers gets the Arizona Cardinals. Again, the Niners should roll in that game. I'm not a betting man. Well, maybe I will be today because I think the 49ers are going to roll. I think the Bears are going to roll. All right, to your tight ends. It is 10:21 for your morning. One roll on the team, 1 minute along. All right, number 10, Greg Olsen of the Carolina Panthers. Why? Because Detroit's secondary is questionable. Number 9, Brandon Pettigrew, Detroit, going up against Carolina. Number 8, Vernon Davis of the Niners, going up against Arizona. Number 7, Freddie Davis out of Washington, going up against Dallas. Number 6, Aaron Hernandez. Again, the Patriots are the only team that can boast two tight ends in the top 10 every freaking week. Number 5, JerMichael Finley of Green Bay going up against Tampa Bay. Number 4, Tony Gonzalez, who's basically a full-time resident here on the top 10. Number 3, Jason Witten out of Dallas up against the Skins. And number 2, Antonio Gates going up against the Bears. Why? Because he may be the only guy they can actually throw to. Vincent Jackson is big, tall, and fast. That cover 2 may slow him down, but Antonio Gates can work the middle, so that could be why he's in that number 2 slot. And number 1, the Gronker himself, Rob Gronkowski, the number 1 tight end out of the Patriots. The man's got a huge vertical to be that big and that sizable. I mean, Antonio Gates is big, but Rob Gronkowski, I'm faith-driven, so I can't call him in a god, but he's a pretty good-sized guy. Let's put it like that. He's a nice target for a Tom Brady to work with. Anyway, that's it for your tight ends. Moving on to your wide receivers. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, as if you don't already know, your number 1 is probably going to be Megatron. But let's get through it. Let's find out. Number 10 this week, Dwayne Bowe out of Kansas City. Number 9, Roddy White, Atlanta gets Tennessee. Number 8, Hakeem Nicks gets the Philadelphia. Gets the Eagles defense as the Giants play him hard today. Number 7, Brandon Marshall out of Miami goes up against Buffalo. Number 6, Dez Bryant out of Dallas going up against Washington. Number 5, Steve Smith, Carolina. Again, no love for that Detroit secondary. Number 4, Wes Welker, the Patriots, going up against KC. Number 3, Larry Fitzgerald. Again, he's going to have a lot of ball thrown his way, even though it's against the Niners. Number 2, Greg Jennings, as if you even had to ask if Green Bay was going to get some love in this one. And number 1, for God knows how many times this year, Megatron himself, Calvin Johnson, the Detroit wideout, going up against Carolina. I don't know if he's going to get as much love. I mean, Carolina's defense isn't that bad. But, again, you could easily see Greg Jennings or Calvin Johnson. You could exchange 1 or 2 on that one and be just fine. Moving on. Where are we going? Running backs, week 11, number 10, Michael Bush, Oakland gets Minnesota. Number 9, Steven Jackson of the Rams goes up against the Seahawks. Number 8, DeMarco Murray, Mr. Giddyup himself, goes up against the Skins. Number 7, Michael Turner goes up against the Tennessee Titans. Number 6, Freddie Jackson out of Buffalo gets Miami. I'm not sure about that one. Maybe when they're in the red zone, maybe, but I don't think Miami's going to give up a lot of rush yards. Number 5, Maurice Jones-Drew, Jacksonville gets Cleveland. Cleveland's defense is pretty good, but, you know, MJD is all the Jacksonville Jaguars really have. Number 4, Ray Rice. If they give him the ball, it will probably be great against Cincinnati, even though Cincinnati's a pretty good defense. Number 3, Matt Forte. Again, San Diego gets no love anymore. Team starting to fall apart. Forte is an absolute beast for the Bears, that offense, representing over 40% of that total offense. Number 2, LeSean McCoy, the Eagles running back, goes up against the Giants. It's going to be a long day for Eagles fans, I'll tell you right there right now. But Shaney McCoy is a nice breath of fresh air. Number 1, Adrian Peterson, as if we needed to ask, going up against Oakland. Now, Oakland's defense is big and powerful, but AP is a special kind of running back, so I can see exactly why he's sitting atop that list. We move on, 10:25 your morning, in the fastest 60 minutes in sports. We can either click and click, start them and sit them. Who you going with, where you at, on your quarterback side, here you go. For the second time this season, Jay Cutler breaks into the top 10. Cutler, the Bears quarterback, going up against San Diego. Number 9, Philip Rivers, as if you didn't know, those two are going head-to-head today. And they don't like each other, which means there might be a little special giddy-up on some of those little tight routes today. Number 8, Carson Palmer. Hey, he's back, ladies and gentlemen. Oakland's QB. Goes up against the Vikings. Number 7, Matt Ryan goes up against Tennessee. Number 6, Matt Stafford goes up against the Carolinas as the Lions roar there. Number 5, Tony Romo going up against Washington. Number 4, Eli Manning going up against the Eagles. Number 3 this week, Cam Newton going up against the Lions. Number 2, Thomas Brady going up against Kansas City. As if he hasn't taken a residency, moved in furniture, and paid all the bills and had all the utilities put in his name. Aaron Rodgers sits atop the quarterback list once again going up against Tampa Bay. He's probably going to be good for at least 3 to 4 touchdowns today. Is there any team that's going to stop Green Bay? And, again, we said this some years ago when the Patriots went 16-0 and then got all the way to the big dance and then laid an egg. Or, well, I won't say laid an egg. Played up against a very motivated Giants squad and simply got beat. what's going to be the situation with Green Bay? How do you stop the Green Bay Packers? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, as a true football fan, I really honestly do not know how you stop the Green Bay Packers. I'm much like many of you. I'm absolutely at a loss as to what anyone can do to slow that squad down. They're going to have to beat themselves. Penalties, turnovers, they're going to have to make some mistakes. For what it's worth, ladies and gentlemen, I just don't see it. Anyway, on tap in the next half hour, the Fast 6 Minutes Sports. Of course, we have our boys from ESPN's Mike and Mike in the Morning with their Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. More fun things coming for you on the way, and we still got to talk about NASCAR. I pushed NASCAR back a little bit, and I'll tell you why. Because today is the last race of the NASCAR sprint chase, and the two guys really, really at each other a lot. Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, all on tap. Coming back in a minute.
Who the hell do you think you are?
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars? It, what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
We've all dreamed of going back in time, stepping into a machine and going back hundreds of years. Well, there is a place where time travel is possible. The Henry Ford, America's greatest history attraction. Here, time travel happens every day. Here we spend time with famous inventors and the ordinary people who prove they could do extraordinary things. We can read the textbooks, we can look it up online. But history is more than where we've been. It's how we got to be who we are. Here we can touch it, walk around in it, relive it. Let's watch history come alive at Greenfield Village. Marvel at the magic of invention at Henry Ford Museum. Or take a first-hand journey through American genius on the Ford Rouge factory tour. So let's take a step back in time, because knowing where we come from is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Welcome back on the ride, 10:29 in your morning. Ah, it's always something, isn't it? It's always something. Just when you thought, man, we're having a rocking show, everything's going really, really well, everybody did their due diligence, did their job. There's always something. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having some issues with Week 11 VIN Picks 2011, so we may have to go ahead and do that literally live. And, again, you know me. I have no problem doing that. But, man, we'll have to push back some of those special things till next week. But it is what it is. All right, let's get this NASCAR love going right now, because it is truly showtime. As a NASCAR couldn't have asked for a better situation. You've got a three-point lead between – yeah, a three-point difference between Carl Edwards and Tony Stewart. To say they don't like each other is there's tremendous respect for each other, and maybe deep down inside they do, but there's an arrogance that comes, maybe it's even confidence from Tony Stewart, and there's a quiet confidence from a guy like Carl Edwards who just believes in just getting it done. But here's your bottom line. 3 points separate them. It's the last race of the chase. So at 2 o'clock Central Time, 3 on the East Coast, these two are going to strap it in and get after it, all right? And if you're not a NASCAR fan, you don't like the idea of watching guys turn left for a couple hours, maybe this isn't your thing. But I'll tell you right now, this is probably going to be one of the most exciting races at Homestead that you're going to see in some time, if for nothing more than two guys. And, again, there's a host of drivers in this. Please understand, it may come down to the story of two guys, but – It's a lot of guys, obviously, that have a big-time role. And Carl Edwards sits on the pole. Martin Truex is the two. Casey Kane the third. Kurt Busch is four. You got to go back to the 15 spot before you get to Tony Stewart. Okay. However, these are long races. It's a lot of miles. A lot of things can go haywire in these things. And there's some big-time players in this. Guys like Marcus Ambrose, Kyle Busch, you know, Trevor Bain is sitting in the 20 spot. David Reagan, Ryan Newman, Dale Earnhardt Jr. These aren't guys that aren't going to obviously race hard, not only for their teams, for the money, for the pride, and even set themselves up for what should be an awesome 2012. And they ramp that up when they get back to Daytona when this season kind of concludes. Jimmy Johnson, the five-time champion, he's going to have a say in the outcome of this whole thing. Jeff Gordon sitting in that seventh spot, going to have a say-so in this thing. But it's ultimately, for those of you who have been paying attention, it's going to come down to two guys. It's going to come down to Carl Edwards, Mr. Aflac, Mr. Subway himself, and Mr. Office Depot, Tony Stewart himself. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, it is going to be a whole lot of fun. Now, I won't get a chance. I know I'll be buried in NFL stuff with Red Zone and everything else. I'll be doing a ton of things. But I will be keeping an eye, an honest-to-goodness eye, on exactly what's going on with this race and how it's playing itself out. I'll be curious about, obviously the late crashes, if there are any. And I'm looking over the last few races, how these have kind of played themselves out. Martinsville, Tony Stewart. This was let's go back. Early October, October the 9th, Jimmy Johnson wins in the Chevy. On the 15th, the Bank America 500 in Charlotte, Matt Kenseth takes care of business. October the 23rd in Talladega, Clint Bowyer wins that race, but you see a lot of point shuffling going on. October the 30th, Tony Stewart. Tony's getting hot now. November 6th, Tony wins again. But now, let me take it back before I leave the 32 quickly. Second place in that race in Martinsville was Carl Edwards. Again, Carl has been the consistency of top five and top ten finishes all season long, so he has been viable, been relevant all year long. November 6th in Texas, Tony Stewart wins. Biffle comes in second. Here's the deal. Not too far behind all those guys, our buddy Carl Edwards. The Cobalt Tools 500, Casey Kane wins the race. Matt Kenseth is the second. But again, here's our buddy Carl, in the hunt. Again, they're consistent. They're at the top. Great teams on both sides. I'm not sure who's going to win this, guys. But my heart is actually with Carl. I love Carl Edwards. He just seems like the all-American guy who works hard every day, goes out there and just gets it done. I'm not hating on Tony Stewart. I've been a Tony Stewart fan for a lot of years. I don't tend to vibe with a lot of the arrogance that comes out of that camp from time to time. But it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're a NASCAR fan, you got to love this. It's 10:34 in your morning. We're still trying to get a bunch of fun things out. We're trying to restore those 2011 VIN picks for week 11, because if we can get that one together, guys, that one is just an absolute ton of fun. But anyway, it is 10:34. Well, here's what we can do. Why don't we go ahead and roll the our buddies over at ESPN, let them roll with their Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, and it'll give us a few minutes, obviously, to see what we can resolve as far as our week 11 VIN picks 2011. And if we can get that restored, well, obviously it'll roll. If not, then I guess you're just going to have to deal with me bragging about my picks, my record for 2011 again. Not as good as last year. I humbly submit to you, not as good as last year. I've taken some chances that haven't always worked out. But, again, I'll give you the prime example. Last week, Eagles-Cardinals didn't work out. It's on me. I humbly admit that was my bad. Wish I could have taken that one back. I really wish I could have taken that one back. You have no idea how much I wish I could take that one back. But such is the case. It is what it is, so we'll move forward. All right. Let's get after it. Without further ado, 10:35 morning, our friends over at ESPN, their week 11 Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the great Gonzo from the new movie The Muppets, in theaters November 23rd. You will notice that I have placed Mike Greenberg under the mysterious power of hypnotic suggestion. He will now think that he knows something about football.
Wait a minute, Gonzo, he always thinks that.
That's impossible. Have you heard his Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks? I mean, really?
No, not yet, but here they come.
Yeah.
Maybe hypnosis will help.
My goodness, here we go for week 11, and this week my theme is, the little girl with the curl was not only very good when she was good, she was also very bad when she was bad.
Hey, Stradler.
Yeah?
Who do you think Greeny is going to pick?
Doesn't matter. When Greeny picks, it's always opposite day.
And that applies to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When they've been bad, they've been really, really bad.
Yeah. It's not easy being green.
Yeah, or green, eh?
Always being told you're too small or skinny.
Yeah, that you never played the game.
You blend in with so many ordinary things.
I didn't know anything about throwing around the old pigskin.
Well, actually, I know way too much about the pigskin.
Yeah, boy, you've had it rough.
Yeah.
And they're going to the worst place you can go in the NFL. That's Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers and the Superman, Aaron Rodgers. Getting 13.5 points sounds like a lot. Isn't. Give me the Packers. They cover in a big way. This spread could be 3 touchdowns.
Really, Greeny?
Wait, stop. Are there Muppets in this movie?
I'm going to go to Washington, where the Redskins are getting 7.5 points to the visiting Dallas Cowboys. Washington started out strong, but we always thought there'd be an issue there with the quarterback situation, and we were right.
You know, Mr. Garlic, sometimes my friends just don't understand me.
No, I know exactly what you mean, Gonzo. Greeny doesn't understand the genius that I am.
What, Greeny? You work with Kermit, too?
It's a different Greeny.
No, skinny arms, skinny legs, Google eyes?
Well, it sounds like Greeny. Maybe I do work with Kermit.
What? Kermit? What is this?
Washington is flat out a bad football team, and Dallas has flat out got it going on because they have the running game going on that makes Tony Romo's job easier. The defense is playing better. The Cowboys go to Washington, give 7.5 to Washington. That's fine. They'll win by double digits.
Really, Golic?
And then finally, let's go head-to-head, Golic, with the Titans at Atlanta. And my theory on this one is, when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you start running a little faster. The Titans, who were probably not going to catch the Texans in that AFC South, now probably are. They know Matt Schaub's out for the year. They know this is their chance. This is their moment. This is their opportunity. They're going to Atlanta. They're getting 6. I like the Titans straight up. They got the point. I think the Titans are going in there and pulling off the upset.
Stone cold lead pipe lock.
Yeah.
That sounds really dangerous.
Well, only if you take them seriously, Gonzo.
Yeah, like in the back of the head.
Come on, Greeny. Atlanta's got a lot on the line after what happened last week in overtime to New Orleans, the way they gave that one away.
And the Falcons gamble fails the Saints sideline erupt.
They need redemption, and redemption will come in the form of a big win over Tennessee. They're given 6.
Punt the ball! Stop it!
Give more than 6. The only advice I say, if it goes to overtime and you're in your own territory and it's fourth down, punt the ball!
And those are your Week 11 stars.
Go,
Lance! Lots.
Hey, Waldorf, What was that? I thought they were supposed to talk about football.
Stather, you old fool, they were talking about football.
But they didn't seem to know anything about what they were talking about.
So what? That's never stopped us.
True.
I can't believe we had that in the budget.
Oh, that is so great. Mike and Mike in the Morning and the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. Protect your ride no matter what you drive. When you peak, you win. Locks, of course, as always, by Joaquin, by Craig Possible, and most importantly, by The Muppets, whose movie opens a week from today in theaters November 23rd. Not a week from today. Next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, November 23rd, The Muppets open coast to coast.
We spent Tuesday
with The Muppets. Yeah. And we did, and there's no other way to say it.
You think that when we come to work on Tuesday, hey, after the show, you're going to spend some time with the Muppets.
But it was as much fun as anything we've done in a long time.
It really was. It was really cool.
It was great. Golic and the great Gonzo and Kermit and me. And, you know, Kermit and I do have a lot in common.
You do have a lot in common. You really do. As I saw you guys, I mean, it was almost like you were
It was like looking into a mirror.
It really was.
It really was. It's not easy being greeny. So that was a lot of fun. And, again, going over the locks, I've got Green Bay minus 13.5 over Tampa. Golic's giving 7.5. with the Cowboys against the Redskins, and we go head-to-head. I love the Titans in this game against Atlanta, and Golic has the Falcons giving the points.
We've all dreamed of going back in time, stepping into a machine and going back hundreds of years. Well, there is a place where time travel is possible. The Henry Ford, America's greatest history attraction. Here, time travel happens every day. Here we spend time with famous inventors and the ordinary people who prove they could do extraordinary things. We can read the textbooks, we can look it up online, but history is more than where we've been. It's how we got to be who we are. Here we can touch it, walk around in it, relive it. Let's watch history come alive at Greenfield Village. Marvel at the magic of invention at Henry Ford Museum. Or take a first-hand journey through American genius on the Ford Rouge factory tour. So let's take a step back in time. Because knowing where we come from is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Wake up, Leona! This decrepit Hooverville is infested with something besides idiots.
Ah, 10:41 in your morning. All right. Good news, good news, good news. Let me sound a little old, and Mr. Brown is like, good news. All right. It's 10:41, week 11 of the National Football League. You've already got your fantasy love. You've already heard from our buddies at ESPN with the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. I don't know where you want to go. You've already got your rankings for your fantasy guys. In this hour, you've gotten so much clubbed in. Again, we're not talking NBA until I get that collective bargaining garbage worked out. We're just not going to do it. Stop blowing me up on chat. Stop trying to hit me up. No. 619-639-4747 is the number to call if you want to talk about the NFL, you want to talk about fantasy, you want to talk about the NHL, NASCAR. You can even talk some UFC if you want to. We're not talking about baseball. We're not talking about the NBA. It's just not going to happen. It just isn't. So just stop it. Now, I did have one request to play a little bit of an excerpt from, I guess someone's still in love with Dion and Shannon's speeches from the Hall of Fame. That's always fun because, you know, we keep that, a lot of that stuff on archive. So I'll give you a little bit of the Shannon Sharp Hall of Fame spiel, which was really, really good. Just a few minutes of it, and then we'll get into the most important aspect of this show, which is always, you know, it's only important because it's fun, it's interactive, it's with you. It was done live. Again, the Week 11 Vin Picks is here. It is clean. It is ready to rock and roll. I'm not sure exactly what happened earlier on during the production side, but thank you guys for getting that together because the show just would not have been the same without that. It's 10:43 for your morning. Let's get into the Shannon Sharp excerpt from his Hall of Fame speech. It is very, very emotional, so for those of you who have never heard it, pay close attention. This is really, really good. Again, 619-639-4747 is the number. Welcome again to the Fast 6 Minute Sports as we start to wind down into the home stretch. And then, of course, we'll wind it down with the Week 11 Vin Picks 2011. Here we go.
My big brother Sterling, I'm the only player of 267 men that's walked through this building to my left that can honestly say this. I'm the only pro football player that's in the Hall of Fame, and I'm the second best player in my own family. You're a different hand. There's no question. There's absolutely no question in my mind we would have been the first brothers to be elected to the Hall of Fame. The 44 men and women that I thanked and congratulated early for giving me and bestowing this prestigious honor upon me, all I do is ask. All I can do is ask in the most humblest way I know how, is that the next time you go into that room or you start making a list, look at Sterling Sharpe's accomplishments, a 7-year period, of the guys that's in the Hall of Fame at the receiver position and the guys that have the potential to be in this building. That's all I ask. I don't say, hey, just do that. The next time you go in that room, think about Sterling Sharpe's number for 7 years. That's all I ask. Sterling, you're my hero, my father figure, my role model. You taught me everything I know about sports and a lot about life. I never once lived in your shadows. I embraced it. I think this is where I start to get emotional. My granny. See, the guy that did this bust here, he went to school for that. He's trained to bring clay to life with his hands. It's my turn to bring Mary Porter to life with my voice. It's time for me to give Mary Porter a face. For all those that don't know who she is, it's my turn now. What do you say about a person that gives you everything but life? How do you start to say thank you, Granny, for a woman that raises 9 of her kids and your mom's 3, and she sacrificed more for her grands than she did her own? You see, my grandmother was a very simple woman. She didn't want a whole lot. My grandmother wanted to go to church and Sunday school every Sunday. She wanted to be in Bible study every Wednesday. And the other day, she wanted to be in a fishing creek. It was my brother's and I's job to make sure she can do that for the remaining days of her life. The only regret that I have in my 43 years that I never told my grandmother just how much she mean to me. See, my grandmother and grandfather, they raised me, and I hung on everything they say, but they didn't know it. I can tell you every time that my grandmother's ever been upset at me, I can tell you why. My brother never knew that everything he said, that I hung on it. I wanted to be so much like my brother that when I went to college, my brother's first college girlfriend, when I went to college, my first college girlfriend looked exactly like his. And the one story I want to leave you with to tell you why I became this person. When I was 12 years old, I told my mom, I said, "Mom, I'm going to have some money one day, and I'm going to buy you a Mercedes," and I did. When I came and I asked my grandmother, I said, "Granny, what do you want?" She always called me her baby. She never called me by my name. I said, "You want me to buy you a car and teach you how to drive?" She said, "No, son, I don't want that." I said, "Granny, do you want jewelry?" She said, "No, son, I don't want that." She said, "Son, I want a decent house." And I'm thinking, I said, "Well, my grandmother wants 7,000-8,000 square feet." But then I knew my grandmother, knowing her like I know her, after pausing for 5 or 6 minutes, I said, "Granny, what is a decent home?" And I remember it like yesterday, and it was 30-plus years ago. She said, "Son, I want a decent home." And her words verbatim is, she said, "Son, I want to go to bed one night." And she said, "I want God to let it rain as hard as he possibly can. And I want him to let it rain all night long." And she said, "I want to wake up and not be wet." That's a decent home for my grandmother. That's all she wanted. See, for 66 years, my grandmother never went to bed and have it rain and not be wet the next morning. See, I remember those days of putting the plastic coats on the bed. And I'm going to date myself to croaker sacks, but now we call them burlap bags. I remember that. I remember putting the pots and pans on the floor to catch the rainwater, the very pots and pans that we're going to cook in the next day. I remember that. It broke my heart that my grandmother, all she wanted, she got 2 grandboys that's making $1 million, and she wanted a house that wouldn't leak. That's all she wanted. That's all my grandmother wanted. For 2 boys that's making millions, and all you want is a decent house, you want to go to bed and not get wet when you wake up. That's what drove Shannon. That's what got me here. See, my grandma.
Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff from Shannon Sharpe, the day of his Hall of Fame induction. Just amazing, amazing stuff. His love for his family, love for his brother. The relationship between him and his grandmother, absolutely awesome. For those of you who will play this back, I hope you replay that segment as often as you need to perhaps even humble yourself, because that really just kind of settles you down with all the craziness going on in this world. All right, it's 10:50, Sunday morning, week 11. FYI, Fox's pregame coming up at 11 o'clock on your Fox affiliate, the CBS pregame coming up on your CBS affiliate. NBC will get the Sunday night game going later on. And, of course, Monday Night Football on ESPN. But right now, you've waited all week long for Week 11, the Vin Picks. The record is what it is. Here we go, baby. Let's get it on. Week 11, Vin Picks 2011. Here we go. Bengals at Ravens. Really, the biggest noticeable flaw in Baltimore is how it comes down after big wins. this being a big game, so my feeling is the Ravens will be just fine restoring themselves after the in Seattle last week. Ravens by 10 over Cincinnati. Did I just say 10? I did say 10, didn't I? Should I rethink that? No, I shouldn't. Jaguars at Browns. Who's watching this one? Who wants to watch this one? The Jaguars defense keeps getting better and better, now ranking second in the NFL. But Jacksonville's offense with Blaine Gabbert and Cleveland's offense, no Peyton Hillis, is Hardesty starting? If he is, okay. This is going to be the worst watch of the National Football League for a 1 o'clock game. But in the end, I'm going to take the Jaguars in a booming game, 6-3. Woo-hoo-hoo! Panthers at Lions. All right, Cam had a snoozer last week and a little pimple on his tuchus last week. Let's see how he responds going into Detroit to face a wounded Lion, a wounded and angry Detroit Lions squad. Coming off 3 losses in 4 weeks, throw out the blowout in Denver. That was the fluke. Green Bay's coming up. Saints next. Lions need this one really, really badly. I love Cam, but Matthew Stafford and Megatron get it done in this one. Lions by 7. Buccaneers at Packers. At some point, the Packers have to have an off day, right? Right? What's important to monitor now is whether Monday night was a sign of a defense turning a corner. I guess we'll wait and see. But that's not going to make a difference today. Packers, give the points. They're going to roll over Tampa Bay easily. Now, I don't know what the line is, but the Packers will probably win this by a couple of touchdowns. Buffalo at Miami. Just when you thought Miami really had turned a corner and saved Sperano's job, here come the wounded Buffalo Bills looking for a little bit of an easement after what happened in Dallas last week. Well, guess what? I'm going to stick with Miami. I'm going to go oppo against all the pundits. I like Miami. I like Sperano. It's them against the world. And I like Miami to shock Buffalo 23-16 in this game. That's right. I said it, and I'm not backing off it. Miami is considered the favorite this weekend. Woo-hoo! Miami by 7. I'll stick by that. We'll leave it there. Moving on. The Raiders at the Vikings. Carson Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it and I'll stick by it, is back. But it won't be about Carson today. It'll be about Mr. Bush. Michael Bush running all over that Minnesota defense that can't stop the run. Plus, their secondary without Winfield is horrible in Minnesota. I said it, horrible. Play it back, Viking fans. Horrible. Raiders will win this game by at least 7. I love Adrian Peterson, but that defense, big, powerful, they'll slow him down. Give me the Raiders to win this game. Cowboys at Redskins. I don't care where you're playing this game. Beck is bad. Grossman's bad. The Redskins are an absolute disaster of a football team right now. Cowboys come in there and take care of business. I don't know what the line is, but if you can give away 7 points and keep the Cowboys, you do that. Cowboys roll in this game. The Cardinals at the 49ers. Well, the Niners have moved a step closer to clinching their division as if there's anyone chasing them down. Today will be nothing more than basically practice as they'll take advantage of the Cardinals' lack of running game without Beanie Wells being at 100%. Frank Gore will play. You're going to see a lot of fun things. Alex Smith starting to kind of find himself, get healthy. It's the best thing to happen to Alex Smith is Jim Harbaugh as his head coach. Look for the 49ers to continue to roll and get inching ever so closer to clinching that division and at least at a minimum securing the number 2 seed in the NFC. Seahawks at Rams. Now look, this on paper may not have been the most exciting game, but I'm going to tell you something. This game will be a lot of fun to watch. If for nothing more, that Seattle got a little swag back after the win over Baltimore. The Rams can run the ball with Steven Jackson. This is going to be fun. It's a 4:50. It's a late start game on the East Coast. Again, 3:15 here in the Chicago market. Look for the Rams to probably win the game, but Seattle will keep it close. Defense will kind of bounce this thing out, so it'll be a fun game. But give me the Rams by 3. Titans at Falcons. The pundits would love to tell you that Matty Ice and the Falcons offense were kind of hung out to dry last week by a bad coaching decision that cost them a game against the Saints last week. And there are those people who still do not believe that the Tennessee Titans can really play defense. Well, tell you what, I love the Titans in this game. I know they're on the road. I know it's in the Georgia Dome. But I like the Titans in this game. And I don't really, truly, the essence of why, I'm not sure. Maybe it's Matt Hasselbeck, maybe it's experience. But Tennessee, I believe, will take care of business in Atlanta today. So, here's my prediction. The Titans shock the Falcons, 2017. Give me the Titans. Even though I know I'm getting points, I'll take those points and I'll take my Titans. San Diego at Chicago. Chicago is finally forging an identity again, and it is truly based on a defense that is taking the ball away from any and everybody. Six takeaways in the last couple of weeks. Let's not even talk about what they did to the Lions, a decent team last week on defense. Special teams may get a touchdown as San Diego's defensive coverage is questionable. Now again, San Diego always finds a way to have great stats and be positioned great, but the performance does not always prove itself out to be. This is not San Diego that started off slow and got hot later. This is today's San Diego Chargers team, and the bottom line is they're just not as good. Yes, Antonio Gates is there. Yes, Vincent Jackson is there. Yes, Phillip Rivers is still the quarterback. Ryan Matthews stays hurt. I love Tolbert. Big little bowling ball. He's going to be a lot of fun. It's not enough. No Malcolm Floyd. The defense being a little bit suspect. And a Bears running team that comes downhill at you. Give me the Bears by 7 in that football game. Eagles at Giants. Philadelphia will have to lean on Vince Young to save its season. But that saving is not coming today, not up in the Meadowlands. The Giants are going to roll and control in this game. Give me the Giants by 10. That's right, big. Kansas City at New England. New England is not as bad as their defensive play. I know everyone loves to talk about their defense. That's still Tom Brady. That's still all those weapons. Kansas City will definitely, you know, bring some heat with Tom Bali as a stud rusher. But the bottom line is that's New England at home against a Kansas City team who's starting Tyler Palco. Now look, I'm not hating on Dwayne Bowe, but someone's got to get you the ball, buddy. Give me the Patriots by 7. And that is your Week 11 Fin Picks 2011. Remember, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Week 11 Fin Picks in the book. Bank it. I'm going to go out here and do what I need to do. Get ready to rock and roll. Your local affiliates are coming up next on your tubes. Fox will have your NFC games. CBS will have your AFC games, and remember, NBC will carry the Sunday night affair. Some double dipping going on with the NFL day. There are some late games to watch. Wherever you are in this country, have a great Sunday, and remember, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next week only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Good day, everybody.